We are reading selected excerpts in the topic of the 3 weeks, the days between the straits. You can find the material at camp.tv. You can also ask questions there. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. We are reading excerpt number 8 about the days between the straits.
Yeah, we continue to be between the straits. In truth, the time of the days of between the straits are all the days of the exile, and there's no difference. We think it's between the 17 and 29 of Av, but in fact, the entire exile is like that. We have to feel that we are in ruin, and we have to understand what is the reason for the ruin, and the reason for it is the revelation of our nature that is opposite the Creator. And how do we come to know it, recognize it, and awaken to change it, to correct that nature in order to receive, into, in order to bestow, from hate of others to love of others, which is really the preparation, all the preparation for the correction of the temple. But the good connection between us will be called a house of mutual bestowal called sanctity, a holy house, a temple, mutual connection of love. Let's hope that we'll understand it quickly, specifically out of these days of between the straits.
So we're reading excerpt number 8 from the book Sfat Emet, portion Noah. In truth, the force of unity is very great to invoke the force, the power of the root from above, but it has to be in order to bestow. And this exists only in the children of Israel, since the generation of Babylon, and then they all gathered and it did not succeed for them. But only to the children of Israel, the part of the portion of the Creator, only they were given the power of the unity. And in the children of Israel, it existed afterwards in the construction of the temple. Because the temple was not only a structure of wood and stones and bricks, but only through the connection, the unity of the children of Israel, for every person in Israel has a part in him. As it is written, he builds in the heaven his virtues and his unity over the earth. And it is written, Jerusalem, that is built as a city that was joined together, a city that makes all of Israel friends. And a construction was built below through the souls of the children of Israel, and through the construction of the temple, they arose to be adhered to the souls of the children of Israel in the upper world, as it is written, that there they arose. And this is just as in the verse, we will build a city with its head in the heaven. Only by doing it for the sake of the Creator did they succeed.
The language is a bit distant from us, although he was a great Kabbalist, Sfat Emet. He was a great Admor. But what do we hear from this? That only during the days of the exile we can attain the ruin as the advantage of light over darkness. We have to understand, where is the darkness here? Where is our shattering? Where is our ruin? Where can it appear? And it appears gradually by this little light, and then in your light we shall see light, meaning the Creator shines a tiny light. We understand where we are this way, from a small revelation of evil to a greater revelation of evil, and greater and greater, and All these initial revelations help us see the shattering and the destruction in us in a greater and greater way. They give us the ability to tolerate it, that we are in such a corrupt state. And each time we discover ourselves in an ever lowlier, deep forms, deeper in the will to receive. Specifically, because when we rise up the ladder of degrees, we discover how lowly, how broken we are more and more. The negative force against the positive force, that's how it's revealed. And that's why each who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater. And the upper light works a little bit more, and we discover more evil, and it works again, and we discover more evil. And that's why we have to get accustomed to it, that each time we're only going to discover more evil, and each time it's going to be greater evil. And typically a person asks, well, how long, how much, again, I mean, these same things. There's no such thing as again. We do not repeat things. Rather, the things can be the same according to their kind of character, flavor, but they appear in a new depth, a new desire that hasn't been revealed heretofore. And we have to be happy that we're allowed to correct another penny and another penny that adds up to a great sum. Is that clear?
No.
But shorten to the point.
In short, Jerusalem is built as a city that was joined together. And what we see today is the complete opposite.
Where do you see Jerusalem?
Well, we see what's happening in Jerusalem.
No, we're not talking about the stones.
We're not talking about stones, we're talking about the city.
We're not talking about the geography as well. We're talking about a person's desire that's completely shattered. Why is it shattered? He's completely in order to receive to himself. That's it. That's called for us Ira Shlema, a complete fear, or that is completely shattered. We have no fear. The fear towards the Creator is the third kind of fear that we study about in the Book of Zohar, which is the kind of fear where I'm concerned, will I be able to bestow contentment to the Creator? And that's shattered. What has been shattered? I think, how will I give contentment to myself, the most precious of them all?
Still, Jerusalem is...
No, there's no still. There's no. It doesn't exist for me. Go kiss the Western Wall, I'm telling you. I'm not saying these things are not precious to people. I don't dismiss them, but don't get confused between spiritual concepts and corporeal concepts, period. Here we're only discussing spirituality. We want to discuss corporeality in another lesson, not here. Who else has questions? Next.
Excerpt number 10, the Holy Shla. In the portion Balak. No. That no bad comes down from above to the Israeli nation, for they are the children of the Creator. And although the Creator is angry with them, with the ruins of the temples and the ruin of Israel and their exile among the nations, it is all to their benefit. It is written, and as a man afflicts his son, the Lord afflicts us. But it is all to our benefit to be purified among the nations, to complement the sin and crime, to be pure without any dross and yeast, but only a bright light for the future. Again, know that there is no bad that comes down from above to the Israeli nation, for they are the sons of the Creator. And although the Creator is angry with them, with the ruins of the temple and the ruin of Israel and their exile among the nations, it is all to their benefit. It is written, as a man afflicts his son, the Lord afflicts us. And it is all to our benefit to be purified among the nations, to complement sin and crime, to be pure without any yeast or dross. Only a bright light for the future.
We can't discover the Creator, the spiritual world, the spiritual system, which is completely in order to bestow towards the created being. Because the created being cannot attain anything except for one thing. He only feels discernments, differences between one thing and another. One force is the Creator. The created being must feel reality reluctantly, because that's how it was created, out of two forces, as one thing and its opposite, as the advantage of light out of darkness, in anything. Otherwise it doesn't exist, because the existence of the created being is against the Creator. It's a black point inside the white light. And that's why we have to, there has to be the construction of the final reality called the final correction by the Creator. And then it's shattering by the Creator. This is similar to us taking a picture on a piece of cardboard and cut it into pieces, like pieces of a puzzle, and then we give it to a child to put together. But the picture is beautiful, is perfect, is whole. But this is for us. It's like with the Creator. And in order to teach the little one what is it, how to connect it, how to understand it, we must break it into pieces, into several pieces, what kind of pieces, what kind of pennies, and later we discover what the Creator did. So we would be able to get to know Him completely in each and every step. And then we reassemble the picture. That's our work. So don't get upset when you go through shatterings and destructions and horrible states, really terrible with the appearance of the evil force, but it's all to our benefit. Because later, on top of that, the good whole force will appear.
Excerpt number 11 from the book Tiferet Shlomo, about Purim. Through the fasting and the mourning comes the joy, and from the trouble itself comes the relief. Because with respect to fear, the love comes. Because out of fear comes love. As it is written, it is a time of trouble to Jacob, and from it he will be saved. Meaning, in a day when the in a day of great distress, quickly salvation will emerge from it to cause the unity. As they said, on the day of the ninth of Av, the Messiah was born. For only on the day when the temple was ruined, only then, when the children of Israel were at the lowest degree, only then is the time to bring forth the salvation of our Messiah, to come quickly in our days. And this is the reason, as it is written, for by descending to the dust, with respect to that descent, from that descent they rise up to the firmament like the seed. When it rots in the, when it decays in the earth, it rises and brings forth the crop of the land. And this is why the children of Israel are called the seed of the blessing of the Lord.
It's clear why on the 9th of Av, the Messiah was born, because from that point, which is the shattering of everything, the lowest point, from that point onward we begin to ascend, because everything is broken and is ready for correction. The correction, all of it, is done with a force called Messiah, Mashiach, because it pulls us, this correction is pulling us towards the end of correction, from the word Moshech in Hebrew.
Excerpt number 12, the Holy Shla, the two tablets of the covenant. It was said her enemies were the head. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Meaning the blows and the suffering purify them and break the klipot, the shells, and they are called her many transgressions. Because for our many faults, the klipot expanded, which are all the blows and the exiles and the troubles. And especially the trouble of the ruin of the temple, they purify. And the klipot, the shells, will be cancelled. For now, they are the majority. In the future, there will not be only many praises, but the whole earth shall be full of the knowledge, from the least to the greatest. For this reason, the ninth of Av is called a festival, because out of the trouble, relief. As it is said, rejoice with it in joy. And also what they said, because the four fasting will be a time of joy. And this is implied in our Torah, when Aaron said, tomorrow is a festival for the Creator. And I find in a letter by the Ari that the words were literal, because there is a tomorrow, which is after some time, and a festival for the Creator will be tomorrow, which is the 17th of Tammuz, because it'll be a time of joy and gladness.
Our problem is to aim our attitude correctly towards what's happening, because every problem that appears or appears to us today as a disturbance, we think of it as a disturbance, but it's not a disturbance. It comes to detach us from our ego, from our evil inclination. Every affliction is simply wants to peel us off and remove us from our ego, so we won't be glued to it. And that's why each problem, each affliction that is revealed comes to us by the light that shines and separates the desire to receive and the desire to bestow, and it awakens us to truly leave our ego, and we feel this departure as bad, as negative, because we don't want to leave. So if we add to it our agreement, our own force, then we see that in everything that appears, all the evil that's revealed, we don't see any evil in it. We see it in it specifically, help from above, to remove us from our ego and to rise above it. Is that clear?
What is it about troubles that they direct us toward bestowal?
First of all, there's something very great in problems, that you treat them seriously. You have no choice. And they pass over through your will to receive. Meaning, when they don't leave you, but rather they return again and again, they show you how much you're nothing. You're influenced by them. You can't do anything with them. That you're not great. You're not a landlord. You're not. Nothing will help you. You cannot be prideful. It humiliates you. Meaning the problems, the feeling of the problem, of the affliction, is showing you the lowliness, the feeling of lowliness in your desire to receive. Because they come only to your desire to receive. Try to locate them in this way. Don't look at the problem itself, but rather what it's coming to show you. And you'll begin to feel that it's coming to show you your intention in order to receive. And if you cancel it, you rid yourself of it, you don't feel the pain or the sorrow. You don't feel it. You detach. Like the first restriction. That's it. I have nothing. Even more than that, you can even be in attainment of a certain degree of chasadim. I have no shirt and I don't need it. I have nothing. So what? I can't touch anything. What is an embryo? An embryo means that nothing that happens in this world can harm me and detach me from the Creator. Why? Because this drop of semen, it latches on like a tick to the side of the wall of the womb, and that's it. You can't peel it off. You can't extract it from there, from its hold. That's truly the first point of contact. And all of our problems are aimed at bringing us to the degree of embryo.
How can a person notice that the trouble comes in order to detach him from the will to receive? So as to...
That's through our group work. Our problem is that we still haven't discovered how much our individual mind is not the group mind. The group mind is not simply greater, but qualitatively it's different. This is something we're not aware of it yet.
So again, how do you hone in this feeling? What's my work?
Work forcefully in the group, in such a way that you have nothing, no thought, if not through the group. And then you'll begin to feel that this is a different quality in your approach to spirituality, in your understanding, in your grasp of things, even those seemingly superficial things that we're learning. You'll feel that you have a new mind, a new approach, a new vision, and it will be called spiritual.
What do you do with the trouble itself?
Then you will see what's happening to it if you look at it through the group.
Ken.
Yes.
הסדנה שעשינו בתחילת השיעור.
The workshop we did in the beginning of the lesson.
No. It's now a different lesson. You have questions on what we're studying now?
Yeah.
No introductions.
Fine. So, our logic doesn't work at this point. Meaning, we have to follow only that it's not me, it's us, it's the ten. Meaning, my logic tells me, and I'm talking about what we just read, right? The advantage of the light from within the darkness. We have to understand everything between two opposites. But if I go between receiving and bestowing, I don't reach the goal. I have to go only according to bestowal of contentment to the Creator. So my logic doesn't help me.
I don't understand exactly what you're saying. What is your question in one sentence?
Why do I need to receive in order to bestow, if the opposite of this is to receive in order to receive?
You don't have to. No one is telling you if you need it or not. It's your own free choice. They bring you to a state where you come, first of all, to this free choice, which is truly free, and then you choose a desire to bestow. Why? Because then you will feel, because in your choice, when you're standing there, there's no difference between a desire to receive and a desire to bestow. There's no reason that would make you prefer one over the other. Otherwise, there will be no choice. We will talk about it.
Oh, Valparaiso.
Oh, Valparaiso. Please.
Hola, querido Rav.
Hello, dear Rav. The question is, how do we use personal problems as a problem of the ten, whose purpose is to deliver us from our egos.
We try to rise above our personal problem in order to be incorporated, integrated in the group in such a way that we're adhered to it, glued to it, with our personal problem. That I need to interpret my personal problem that the Creator has given me in a way that above this disturbance, I have to be adhered to the group. Try to cleave to the group to such an extent that this personal problem disappears. If I'm unable to be in the group to such extent, to be in adhesion with them, then I have to take care both of the connection in the group and the personal problem. But in truth, if for each and every problem I would cleave to the group, I would find that the reforming light would correct all my problems, both personal and collective. But only through my adhesion in the group. What does that mean? That I want to be in adhesion with the Creator on top of these personal problems in order to give Him contentment. If I'm able to raise the greatness of the Creator, the importance of the Creator above me, above each and every problem and disturbance, and I do it in the group, this is the correct work. And if I do it like this, in a way, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But in truth, through that, I solve all the problems. And I don't think about them even. Only how above them I can give contentment to the Creator. Then it happens. There are a few more great discernments that we have to learn about, you know, how to do them. But we have to just understand there are no troubles, no problems, only such disturbances above which we aim ourselves to discover the Creator. There is no other reason for any problem, every trouble in the world, personal or collective, only to allow the Creator to be revealed. Next.
Excerpt number 13 by the Maharal. It is befitting for the temple to be the perfection of the entire world and not only for Israel. This is why the Torah instructs us to receive sacrifices from the nations. And if the nations resisted the temple, it would not be possible to stand for even 1 hour, as when the nations govern, they destroy it. But even though the nations oppose Israel, the temple was not ruined. For the temple represents the perfection of the whole world, the nations included. And so it was not ruined by the nations, but only by unfounded hatred and division within Israel.
The temple is the force of connection that we have to realize between us. And then this force is surely ruling. It's great. It covers everything. No foreign forces can be awakened against it. You can say that all the hatred towards Israel from the nations of the world is because we do not build this spiritual force called the temple. All of anti-Semitism is founded on that. So we have to understand that here, it's us, the people of Israel, those who have this the approach, the inclination towards building the connection, unity, that love covers all transgressions, and they are called Israel. It can be Valparaiso, Moscow, or anywhere in the world. We are in Babylon, just like we were a long time ago during the times of Abraham, and we are all equal towards the purpose of creation, because we're all heading towards the end of correction. As he said in the beginning, where did you read it? The previous excerpt?
12.
What we're building is we're building it for the entire world. You read it now. Where did you read it? 13, first line. It is befitting for the temple to be the perfection of the entire world and not of Israel alone. You hear? Maharal of Prague. It is befitting for the temple to be the perfection of the entire world and not of Israel alone. And that's why it belongs to everyone. The correction today doesn't belong to Israel. The fact that 3,000 years ago it was, you know, we went through all these things. No, today Israel are simply kickstarting the whole thing, but everybody has to join, and we see that people are joining because it belongs to all of humanity. Just like it was in Babylon and in a small group, now we have to add to it all of Babylon. That's why we're investing so much in our groups, which who are just like us. They have the same part in the process. So wherever we go, we have to place the intention over all the tens, all those thousands and thousands of people that have some connection with us, and to add them, attach them to the connection. As it's written in number 14 from Psachim, Israel were dispersed among the nations only to have the Gentiles added onto them. That this entire exile is for them, is rather for those other nations. Many nations will join us. 15.
From Zohar La'am, Shmot, Exodus, item 288. Israel were enslaved by all the nations so that the world would rise through them, since they are opposite the whole world.
Yeah, meaning they begin the correction, everybody joins them, and then they complete the correction. Okay?
It is written at the end of excerpt 13 that if the nations of the world hadn't agreed to it, there wouldn't be the temple.
Of course, because the temple is everybody's work.
But what does it mean internally?
We're talking about internality, not externality. Those verses were written by Kabbalists. The Torah was written by people of attainment. And they all aimed at internality, because I am seeing a spiritual world. This is a person of attainment. I see the Creator. I see His actions, His activity. I see how creation started, how it exists, how it's transforming the works of the Creator, His control of reality. I'm going to write to you about what? The stones somewhere? Who's building in Israel? Koreans? Chinese? That's what they're talking about? Or are they talking about internal construction, which is the desire to receive, the upper light that works, that sustains? They don't see differently. They don't see this world, because there are no innovations in this world, no novelties. Everything here is the still nature, inanimate nature. Like when you talk about babies, it's nothing serious. There's a certain nature that works through them, and they're guided by nature. That's why we should never read books written by Kabbalists that are all called holy books. Torah, Gemara, meaning Talmud, and the Mishnayot, and all the Bible. other than the books of Kabbalah, they too were written by the Holy Spirit. And none of them referred to this world, because it was clear to them that the Creator is the upper force that is ruling reality, and the work of men was to discover this force in order to identify with it, to flow with it. It's clear to anyone who discovers. That's why every author writes only on that. It doesn't refer to the stones and bricks in the temple. Even when you open the Torah, the Bible, and you read how the temple was built, it took wood from here and stones from there, and they brought in this and that. It speaks only of connections. It doesn't speak of wood and stones. You are reading it this way. Each one who is flowing is flowing according to his own flaws.
So yeah, there's no doubt this is how I read it. But if now we want to build a temple between us, what does it mean that the nations of the world should agree to this?
The nations of the world in us, all the desires to receive in us. Israel is called Yashar Kel. It's not speaking of a person, it's speaking of a desire. Desire. Abraham was an idol worshiper, a complete Gentile, right? You know, just all over. Suddenly he has a direction. He discovered the Creator. Then he discovered, then he's called Yashar Kel, Israel. He invited students, other people who had all sorts of different beliefs and superstitions. Each one would bow down to his grandma. I don't know. It was Babylon. That's it. He brought them in. He taught them how to aim themselves towards the upper force, which is the only ruling force in all of reality. And he called this group Yashar Kel, Israel. That's it. People would come to you now and they would join this same trend, and they will also be called Israel according to their trend of life, their trajectory in life. You'll call them also Yehudi, Jew. Why? Because in the Yehud, in the unity, they attain the goal. Because Yehudi, Jew, Israel is not a regular nation. There are 70 nations. Israel is not one of them. Israel is representatives from all the nations of the world who assembled to the intention in order to bestow, to be similar to the Creator, Yashar Kel, Israel. If there are no such people, then there is no such nation. If it's written in your ID, you can tell the Ministry of the Interior that it's a lie, incorrect, according to the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah, according to the truth. There is no such thing. Israel is the one who yearns to reach this identification, similarity with the Creator, according to equivalence of form, love thy friend as yourself, and everything according to the method of Abraham.
Again, I might be confused, but it seemed to me like you answered something that's external. I'm asking about the nations of the world internally. What does it mean that they have to agree with Israel?
The nations of the world, in internality, is all my incorrected desires to receive before their correction. They're called the nations of the world. And there are 70 of them, because there are 7 sefirot of Zerampin, 10 in each one.
And what does it mean that they agree to Israel to build a temple?
To the extent that I can connect them in the intention in order to bestow. That's the meaning of converting them to Judaism, proselytizing them. So what is the meaning of that? First of all, don't do to your friend what you don't like done to you, what you hate. And then you also add, and also love thy friend as yourself. So we are even before the converts. We belong to the nations of the world. And anyone you refer to as the people of Israel in corporeality have no connection to being Israel according to the true definition determined by Abraham, by Moses. When is it written, and you became a nation of Israel? When everyone connected in mutual guarantee avut, to reach this identification with the Creator, to correct themselves in 613 mitzvot commandments, meaning to correct the 613 desires that will appear in them, will be revealed in them, in order to bestow, that they would all be in love and bestowal. And with that, we will conclude. Chile. Valparaiso.
Gracias, querido Rav.
Thank you, dear Rav. Before everything else, we want to thank the tens that participated with us in the duty. Ten number two from Petah Tikva and Kiryat Gat, all the tens from Chile, North and Southern Chile, Santiago, and we in Valparaiso, Ukraine and Odessa.
Also Santiago, many people, beautiful. Well done, Santiago. So what's our daily task?
Every friend should use the 10 in order to rise above the personal problems and elevate the connection with the goal of being in dvikut, in adhesion, with the Creator. Again, every friend should use the 10 in order to rise above the personal problems and elevate the connection with the goal of increase the connection with the goal of being in dvikut with the Creator. We thank our viewers on TV and have a good day. Who's pulling the strings? The Kabbalah La'am campus is delighted to invite you during July to intronights in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The lectures will take place in Kabbalah La'am chapters all over Israel, free admission. For details, go to camp.co.il or call 1-700-519-219. Dear friends, the Tens Committee of the World Kli is inviting anyone who still doesn't have a 10 to write to congress.10@gmail.com. In any language. We'll connect you to a 10. We're all as one. Kabbalah Lam Congress in Italy. We're inviting all the Kabbalah Lam and Learning Center in Italy and Europe to the Congress that will take place in Rome between the 28th and the 30th of July. For details and registration, go to kabbalah.it/congresso. This concludes.